Good morning and welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast. It is December 14th, 2020. Only a week and a little bit until Christmas.
Is that really true?
Yeah. Oh, Christmas is a week from Friday.
So that means we have to do the damage control now.
What kind of damage control?
I've got to see how much money you spent.
Oh.
Because I don't know. You've just been ranging around the town with the credit card. And so we'll find out how much. And all through Amazon. You've cut a swath through Amazon with your credit card. And I asked you yesterday, like, how much have you spent, sweetie? And you said, I don't know. Which is like the three most chilling words that are connected with the credit card.
Well, you give like really mixed messages. Because on the one hand, you're like, oh yeah, we need to buy that. Go ahead and buy that. And so then I do. And then when I do, then you're like, you're horrified.
No, sweetie. So, it's more like I say, go ahead and buy that. And you say, oh, and I'll just add these other things.
No, so, I haven't added
and
anything.
And this and that. And
the only extracurricular thing that I bought was I thought it was going to be a calendar, but it turns out to be, it's really great. It's a very beautiful book. I was allowed to put a title on it. So I called it Vanity of Vanities 2021. It is sort of a calendar, but on the first page, I was pretty excited. It invites me to create a mind map of my dreams, goals, and ideas. It says, somewhere to plan without limits, plot your personal growth, and celebrate victories, no matter how big or small. So I'm super excited about this.
So get out of bed.
Yeah, I'm going to totally do that.
Your goal. Then you should write a post, your little entry celebrating it.
I need to celebrate myself. I got out of bed. No, at the beginning of the book, I'm invited to write down three goals. And then through the book, I think every 3 months, they bring them up again. So I can see the degree to which I have failed.
This is hell for you.
I thought it was just a calendar.
Instead of having your own little inner Pharisee, you're going
to
have a Pharisee.
I'm going to be able to put it in the book. Plus, the cover is beautiful. It's so pretty. So I feel like 2021 will be a lot worse than 2020 on account of this book. So I'm excited to finish shopping today for Christmas. I saw people on Facebook were like, I haven't bought a thing yet. And they were glorifying themselves. Whereas me, I'm almost done.
I haven't finished.
And then I'm going to wrap and clean my house like 2 weeks early. No, I guess that's stupid. And that'll be it. I'm so on top of it.
I just need to know how much money that you spent.
I mean, you'll find out. You know, you can check online. They have like, I don't know what you think I'm going to be able to show you, like receipts or something.
You didn't keep receipts?
I do, but they're like all over the place. They're in many, many different locations.
See, everything you're saying right now is just terrifying.
Well, that's not what we're going to talk about today. We were not here to talk about your feelings about me. We have several things. I have something that is not in the news, but that is so amazing, and I have permission to share it with the world. And by amazing, I mean like very terrible. Shocking and good outcome, but terrible
thing, right?
And then we wanted to talk about this rally,
Jericho March,
that we read about on the internet.
Yeah.
And then also there's some stuff about Ravi Zacharias, if we want to, at the end.
Yeah.
Maybe not. So should I do my thing first?
Do your thing first, yeah.
Okay, because this is pretty amazing. So, as everyone knows, my parents live in another country. And they have helped a lot of people along and made friends with people. So the country that they live in is really poor. The distance between rich and poor is really huge. So they have a friend, and I'm going to not say anybody's names, I think, who they have helped a lot financially. It's a very young man who, his mother died when he was very young, and he just has had the roughest possible life you can imagine. Hmm. He lives in a tin shack, but he's friends with my parents, and they have brought him along, and with some other help, he's been able to go to university a little bit. He's now working on a BA in computer stuff. He's very bright. So he fell in love with a very nice young person. And this person's mother really loved him. It was really happy. It's just very sweet.
The girl's
mother really loved him. And everything was trucking along, and all very nice. Maybe get it. So, but let me talk about the girl's mother. So she has teenage children. The husband took off a long time ago, and very, very, very poor. So she was very Christian. She would walk 15 kilometers on Saturday in order to be able to go to church with her children on Sunday morning, and then would walk back to her place of employment 15 kilometers on Sunday afternoon. And so she was a maid in a very big, fancy house of people native to the country that this is. But last year, in August, she didn't come home one day. So she went to work, and then it came to be Saturday, and she didn't come back. And so her girls just texted, called, nothing. They went to the police repeatedly. We don't know what has happened to our mother. And the police investigated, in quotation marks, brought her employer in for the night to the police station, but then let him go the next morning. And nothing. So every few months they would go back to the police and say,
help us.
You got it. Well, finally, just very recently, a new police chief was put into that location. And when the girls heard about it, they went straight back and said, you please investigate. Our mother is still missing. It's been a terrible year, where like she has a 12-year-old boy, 11-year-old girl, like who just were then kind of on the streets, just so poor. There was nothing for them. So yesterday, yeah. They raided this house where she was working, and they found her and another woman where she had been kept for a year. Okay, so this is all terrible, but now it gets weird. Because
yeah,
the reason that they were keeping her...
It's already been kind of weird, but... I mean
right.
A woman's abducted, no one cares. And
right. So. The police were being bought off by this family. And they were keeping her and this other woman and drawing blood from them every month to do some kind of magical thing.
Their dad's just probably drinking it, because there's this kind of... witchcraft idea that you drink
getting power
and you get power
from the blood, as they say. But then she heard that them talking, that they were planning to sacrifice the two women on Christmas Eve, and at some point somebody outside of the household came in and she started screaming, and that's how this other person also went to the police. Heard some screaming.
Yeah.
And so they thought that's why they finally got in. But they were planning some kind of
on
rite.
Christmas Eve, I think, on Christmas Eve, they're going to sacrifice her.
Yeah.
And the other woman. And your dad's like, he says that's kind of common. Like,
well, by common, he must not mean like everyone's doing this.
Well, no, what he means, but like your children will be, like, usually children will be abducted on the way to the store or something. And
right.
And used in these kind of sacrifices. And he says it's not religious. It's more magical. It's more like a witch.
Right. It's not about God at all. Right. Like, it's not to appease some deity. It's about power.
To get money or wealth or
yeah,
power.
Yeah, so, but right? They went, if they sacrificed her, they would expect to become very, very rich. Like, that was right. The goal.
And they were talking, because your dad was saying that he was retelling the story of something that happened in Mali, I think it was, where...
The balafon.
Yeah, someone...
He wanted to become a great balafon player.
So he took a kid, and he and the kid's uncle sacrificed a kid and poured the blood over the balafon.
Yeah, and he did become very, very good as a balafon player. Like, he was the best known. But then, when it was time for him to die, he couldn't die. He finally confessed to murder, because his child disappeared and nobody knew what happened. And then he died, and he was able to die.
I mean, it's so horrible.
Yeah,
I mean, but it's, you know, it speaks to like Jesus dying for us and shedding his blood.
Yeah, there's a sort of primal haunt about that. Yeah.
And it's, I think God, I mean, the life is in the blood.
Yeah, it's in just like the power in the blood.
Satan twists that truth and demons use it.
Yeah.
In the magical realm, but
so it's
in the realm of what we call magic, which is really,
I think the sharp line between religion and magic isn't as sharp as it should be.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really interesting. I mean, the story was, well, so first of all, this woman, when she didn't show up, her landlord sold everything she had. So, and she was also kept in a dark room for a year. So she came into the light. Yeah. She was kind of, her eyes were really weepy, not just, you know, like adjusting. Meanwhile, my parents' friend and this person's daughter got married this year. So that's lovely. But anyway, still so poor. Now still going to need another job.
Yeah.
It's hopefully not so horrible. Yeah. But anyway, much earlier in the day, read this Rod Dreher thing, what I saw at the Jericho March. And I thought it was really interesting, because I think that Americans are very naive about several things. One, Americans are super naive about violence. Americans don't know, once you start being violent, that it's really hard to stop. It's even if you don't go into an all-out war, this sort of slow burning political violence is part of a lot of countries, a lot of people's lives. And the people who get caught in that and whose lives are ruined are the small, poor people, not the people who can get on a jet and go away. So I think that conservatives in particular, I thought,
calling for,
should be really, really
political violence to quote unquote stop the steal is,
that is not a good thing to do. Like, I'm really shocked. Second of all, I think that Americans are pretty naive about this, what really constitutes true religion. Like, there are consequences to blurring the line between a political mm-hmm. activity and a religious one. And that also is part of the rest of the world's life. And
yeah.
We've had a lot of, I'd say, freedom and grace in life by keeping those bright lines separate.
Right. So, I can see, I mean, I'm not unpersuaded that this election wasn't fraudulently won by the Democrats. I'm actually leaning to thinking that it was, but that's not because I love and worship. There's no religious. Well, okay, yeah. Everything is involved. Everything involves God. God's sovereign over everything. He's sovereign over politics. However, if you've come to the point where you think that Donald Trump is the man that God has chosen to restore this country. And then you add to that this the conviction that the election has been stolen. Then you have much more going on. Then you have, okay, God's will is being thwarted by these evil people who are in league with Satan, and we need to stop them. We need to figure out some way to destroy them. That's the kind of rhetoric that's coming out of that march. Reminded me, we were talking about C.S. Lewis yesterday in the Screwtape Letters, and he was talking about how, you know, when you make this move, when you marry ideology to theology, not that there's no overlap again between politics and religion, there is, but when you so meld them that they become one, where your ideological duty becomes a religious duty, then what happens inevitably is that you begin to value Christianity not because of Christ, yeah, but because it provides a really good argument for your ideology. And so you see it on the left all the time. This is the woke. This is what the woke movement does to Christianity. It makes Christianity is a really good platform to pursue social justice from. So you begin to value Christianity just because of that aspect of it, rather than because of Christ and the sacraments and the prayers and the religious aspect of it, where you're actually calling out to God for help and mercy, is relegated to, I've got to get these pamphlets printed join the fight, right?
I mean, Roger made a really good, he said he wished he could have had it, because he really went after the totalitarian left in his book, which I did read. It was a good book. But he said, he was interesting, the parallel, or was the opposite side, but the woke left, right, and this religious right. I was really interested, because as a Christian, a lot of the things that happened at this rally would not have occurred to me as a possible activity. And I've seen this on Twitter, people saying, pray, pray, pray for Stop the Steal. Pray for Donald Trump. He's embattled. He's in,
And we should pray for our
president. And the thing that I've been praying for in terms of the nation, the world, hasn't been, I guess I don't feel like God's sovereignty requires Donald Trump to be reelected.
Right. If in fact Biden is elected, whether legally or illegally, God is still sovereign over that.
God's will has been done.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was God's will that we would again have to pick between two people that we didn't like very much.
Right.
You know, God has arranged both of those things for us. And it's not because Trump is Cyrus. Then the other thing that Drew pointed out is the visions of people are hearing voices and having visions.
God told me that Trump was going to win this election, the guy said. He told me. He promised. He said that this is going to happen. So, you know, I don't know. But the way they reconcile with it, with Trump maybe not winning not being the president, is, well, he is president. It's just been stolen. My prophecy was right. But it's just that the devil got in the way, and
the devil doesn't get in the way.
Right.
Like that's really bad theology.
Right.
If God wants to bring something to pass, the devil isn't going to get in the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and so you have to.
Also, you think that if Biden is president, God can't still take care of his people? Like, he doesn't need Donald Trump.
Right. Well, but he
really doesn't need him. He didn't need him 4 years ago, and he doesn't need him now. He's not an instrument of God.
In his article yesterday, Roger was talking about how, you know, that it surprised him to hear the "God told me this" language all through the rally. But then a couple of his readers said, you know, that's just ubiquitous throughout evangelicalism. It has been ever since the Experiencing God book by Blackaby. Yeah, Blackaby. That's just. It's now, you know, that growing up in evangelicalism, that you just use that
It doesn't really matter if it's true or if you even think it's true. It's just a way of talking.
God led me to do this. God told me to do this. God led me to, and so no matter what it is, you have God has your back, right? I'm not saying everyone's lying who's doing that. I think they really think that they're hearing from God, but they've been trained to listen to their emotions and think that that's the Holy Spirit, and listen to their gut and believe that's the Spirit speaking to them. And so, yeah, they're going to get things like, yeah, well, God told me Trump's going to win the election. And he was telling, anyway, Roger was telling a story about this woman who wanted to break up with her boyfriend. I guess she was a teenager or something. And she said, God told me that we should break up. And then, of course, the guy was devastated, and his mother was devastated and called this girl and said, well, God told me that you're going to get married. And so who's right? Right? Who's the dueling prophets? Who wins that? That's the problem when you have any other kind of authority other than scriptures being supreme in this. And the scriptures would tell us, even in the place of righteousness, you find injustice. That's what Ecclesiastes tells us in chapter 3, I think, that, even the best of our institutions is rife with corruption because the human heart is corrupt. And so what do?
You can kind of have a little bit of fatalism.
Yeah.
Like, here's what Americans could learn from Africa. They could start by not calling for violence. That would be number one. But number two, terrible things will happen to you and you can't control them. You could be locked in a room.
Yeah.
And this woman cried out to God. Like, she prayed for a year, desperately prayed. Wow. She was really Christian and God delivered her. She went to a deliverance church, actually. Wow. But you need to, I don't know. Why are you praying for stop the steal? Why don't you pray for your own soul that you're not bound into hell?
It's okay to pray that God might bring the truth to light. That's a really good prayer.
Yeah.
That's fine. But what we I think you should avoid is like, okay, those who don't agree with me are actually facilitating Satan's
wicked works,
succumbing of this, taking down this nation, right? Because God, Satan's really probably happy with this nation being really successful and powerful and strong, because that breeds pride and selfishness and all the other things. I wouldn't necessarily think that Satan's all that invested in America being broken down because we're some great enemy to him. I don't think that's
That's not
right.
That's not a thing, really.
That comes from the Frank Peretti stuff. Remember, Frank Peretti was.
Man, I loved those books.
Yeah, those
were so fun.
That's really good. But so there's just this. I think some very conservative Christians are feeling very embattled, and so, which is right. We should feel embattled. And so they're going to the mattresses. The masks are now the mark of the beast. Satan is, Trump is the chosen one. I don't like masks, and I'll be honest. I voted for Donald Trump, but I think it's a really bad road to go down where we throw aside the rule of law because others aren't following it.
And
throw aside the Constitution because others aren't following it, and demand what the Jericho March was a demand that Trump, or part of it was demanding that Trump use his executive powers to do something to invalidate invalidate the election. And that's you don't want to go down that road because the other side can do that too. If you do that, the other side can do that.
Yeah.
Is this really the moment we want an armed revolution, an armed civil war? There may be a time when that happens and has to happen, but
I don't know. I don't know if there's a time that has, because I don't know. Like it's hard for me.
Well, I think if we were living in 1917 Russia and the Bolsheviks started over the Tsar, there'd be a reason to fight with the Tsar. We joined the White Army. I think there are certain extreme revolutions that the Christian is responsible to defend against, for the sake of his family and the nation.
But I don't
think C.S. Lewis talks about that. There's a good kind of patriotism that's necessary to defend home and the things the basic human freedoms that we all do have from God. And when those are being threatened, yes. But he's very clear. You know, it has to be an extreme threat. You're not like just the other party won.
And I'm really upset about it.
Yeah.
I was going to say something, but
I'm sorry.
I can't remember what it was now. Yeah. I feel like it was super interesting, but.
Well, the other thing that was interesting, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I can't remember.
Was the use of the shofar in just about everything. I mean, the shofar was everywhere in the Jericho March.
And yeah, it was a totally ecumenical march. There were Catholics, Orthodox, Evangelicals, Jewish people.
Yeah.
And the shofar.
But the shofar was like used by all of them. I mean, it wasn't just the Orthodox Jew thing. It's now become a charismatic thing where people seriously drive around the country blowing their shofars because of the theology that's grown up around the shofar. The sound of the horn summons angels and chases away demons.
Which feels to me just a little bit like African traditional religion.
Yeah, that's magic. That's magical thinking. It's an incantation, right? It's the same, thing with the... I'm sorry, I'm interrupting you. I'll stop.
No, go ahead.
It's the same thing with the... I compared it on Facebook to the Jabez prayer, because the Jabez prayer was an incantation. It wasn't a prayer. It wasn't, oh, Lord, help me. It was, I say these words, and God will expand my territory. God will give me success if I just say this spell that therefore binds God to do what I'm asking him to do. And the shofar is kind of the same way. I blow this, and that necessarily summons angels and demons go away. So we're going to be like Jericho. You know, that's what happened to Jericho. The shofars were blown and boom, the walls fell down. So that's what has to happen now. No, it's just a horn. It's a horn. God tore the walls of Jericho down. Not because of the horn that was there, because he just did it. He used the horn as a signal. Like, yeah, you don't do anything to blow your horn, I'm going to knock the walls down. But it wasn't the horn that acted like a mechanism to bring down the walls of Jericho.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Okay. I think what I was going to try to say before, because you went past it really fast, was that God wouldn't be happy if Americans were poor and sick and sad and beset, like as if somehow the American prosperity is a sign of God's favor. I would have always said that actually American prosperity is not a sign of God's particular favor on America. It is maybe a sign of judgment, in fact. And I think we can see that it is, because we're getting rich for a lot of wrong and bad reasons. And we're willing to get rich at the expense of innocent life or the lives of children or the safe, you know, we're willing to get sick in a very exploitative and ruinous kind of immoral way. And so that Christians in particular should be able to see, oh, well, God isn't blessing us right now. Like, we're not getting special favors, and God doesn't care about our corrupt. I mean, he cares about everything.
Yeah.
But if he really blessed us, and I feel like it may be that he is prepared to bless the church, he will let us become poor and sick and desperate in order that we will be saved from our sins.
Right.
And other...
That we'll repent. And that,
If a tower falls on you or an earthquake happens, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to repent and turn to the Lord. That's what you're supposed to, like, if the election is stolen, what should you do? You should repent of your sins. If Mr. Biden becomes president, what should you do? You should repent of your sins.
Right, but if you've made it all like the fight against the light versus darkness in the spiritual realm.
Right.
If Biden becomes president, it's not like the Tower of Siloam falling. It's like you've got to fight Satan.
Yeah.
So you can't repent because you're on the side of righteousness. And so all the bad things that are coming for our country as a result of Biden being elected, which I think we're going down a really bad road, they become more ammunition for the hatred of the left rather than why is God allowing us to be into this place? Which, look, I don't like the left. I do believe the left is in league in some way, some kind of spiritual way with demonic power, but I mean, that's what abortion's about.
The left has its own sacraments,
right,
and its own religious principles. And I think it's important to be able to see that what happens on that side of the spectrum is just as religious as anything else is. In fact, I saw this tweet Joe Biden tweeted, which I think is really funny and ridiculous. In my administration, he said, hopefully this will come up in spite of my poor, and science will always be at the forefront of my administration. And like, what does that mean? Science? Because science is also this sort of magical thinking, whatever my feelings are.
It's who I am.
So who I am.
I'm Shirley.
Like, so science.
I'm Jennifer, even though I have a hairy chest and an Adam's apple. And because science.
Yeah. So no, the science, I mean, there's a lot of ridiculous stuff. So the Christian, you said the Christian is embattled or should feel embattled. And that's because the Christian is embattled, not because of, you know, wicked, bad people who steal elections, but because the gathering gloom of sin and corruption all around means that you have only one help, and that's actually Jesus,
right?
Not
Jesus to help you win politically.
Yeah.
Jesus, just Jesus.
Just that's all you get.
Yeah.
Which I get is super disappointing. I mean, everybody in the world is disappointed when they discover that the reward that they get was Jesus. Like, they wanted health or medicine or gold or happiness. But it doesn't matter who you are. The reward that you get that's waiting for you in heaven is the Lord.
Right.
That's right. The boundary. It's like your enlarging boundaries are that God takes it. God welcomes you into his kingdom.
Yeah. So on both sides, it seems like on the left and the right, there seems like this, because of the melding of ideology with theology, you have a desire to immanentize the eschaton, right? the means by which we get to heaven for the left is by enacting woke law and
utopia,
forcing reparations and forcing, undoing all the oppression, power oppression. And then what happens, of course, you become an oppressor, but that's how we have to bring in heaven right now by force. And same way on the right. And we've got to far right, the Jericho March. We've got to tear the walls down and establish the kingdom of heaven on earth through Cyrus, through Trump, who's going to be our Cyrus. It's just this, I guess, inability to step back from, or unwillingness to step back from, step back and analyze the ideology from a biblical perspective and realize.
And make a choice, a political choice.
Yeah.
I mean, Christians are political people too. So you have to make political calculations. And I think that it's fine to do that. Like, you should vote. You should vote for a party. You should, your theological and spiritual life should inform that political choice.
Yeah.
But then when you're, party doesn't win, you shouldn't despair and think that you need to go out and get a human sacrifice in order to bring about not only the blood moons, but also stop the steal. Like,
right.
You shouldn't be talking about shedding blood, yeah, any
right.
blood.
Right.
That's not because some, you just shouldn't do that.
Octogenarian wins the presidency. So okay. Is he in his 70s? He's in his 80s, right?
Area. No, he's in his 70s, oh, okay. late 70s. So, well, anyway. I'm sort of more cheerful than I was. I feel like the Band-Aid, you know, with the Biden presidency. Again, I think what I thought that Trump was kind of like the Tower of Siloam. Hmm. When you see Donald Trump being elected, repent. He's the Tower of Siloam. Repent, repent. So if you didn't repent under Donald Trump on the left or the right.
You get Joe Biden.
Okay, so think of Joe Biden as the Tower of Siloam. Here's your Tower of Siloam. Repent. What are you supposed to do when you see Joe Biden elected? Repent.
Yeah.
Ask Jesus to help you become a Christian. Like that. That's all you can do. And then get up every morning and just try to deal. That's how it works.
Right.
Right.
I'm kind of C.S. Lewis obsessed, but that's another thing is that he say his point of view, Satan wants you focused on what ifs far off into the future. And imagining how things will play out and what you're going to do. Whereas God wants you focused on what you do now and how you interact with his trials that he's allowing to fall into your lap in the present day. That's why the prayer is give me this day my daily bread, not, you know, give me in 10 years time, the ability to fulfill my vision. It's give me my daily bread.
Because you never know what could happen tomorrow. You could be right. locked up in a room and not see the sunlight yeah. for a year. And then God, you would have to be sustained by God because yeah. that would literally be all that you have.
Yeah.
And I guess my question for Christians is, because this person who was locked in this room and was going to be sacrificed was a Christian. And she walked 15 kilometers to church, to go to church with her daughters, you know, every week. Do you think that God wasn't blessing? Do you think that she was, that God didn't love her, that God didn't bless her, that that she was somehow outside of God's will, that like, and was she supposed to yeah. rally and do stop the kidnapping? Like, where do you think it is? How do you think that it is that God works in the world? It's not with you getting what you want. That
right.
that just, you know, I saw a bunch of stuff about it's been. Like the anniversary of the Chinese church being, you know, that pastor being put in mm-hmm. Prison, and he's going to be there for 9 years. What is it? The rain.
Latter rain, I think.
No, it's got the word rain in it. But
I forget.
Like, you know, I feel like American Christians are quick to be like, oh, we should pray for the persecuted church.
That's good.
Yeah. But what, you know, what are you praying? God is work. God is active
yeah.
already. And the Christian that's thrown in prison is not being blessed by God.
Right.
That person isn't cursed. That person isn't, forgotten by God.
Right.
So you need to rethink your entire way your right. entire worldview.
Really. Right, 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 right.
Anyway, should we end off with
Ravi? It's very sad. I like Ravi Zacharias a lot. I thought he was a great apologist. We had, you know, a little bit of difference in theology. I'm more reformed than he was not reformed. But he was a great apologist.
I'm really happy I'm really sad that my Aunt Catherine died before any of this stuff came out, because she bought every single thing that he
You're sad did. That she died before?
No, I mean, I'm glad that she died before any of this came to light, because I think she would have been really deeply shocked.
Yeah.
And really sad, as indeed we should all be, because I guess it's interesting that the power question, you know, Americans like to think of themselves on the side of the right and goodness and all that kind of thing. And Actually, they're just like every other human being in the world.
Yeah.
Who's corruptible. Who's wicked.
Right.
So we shouldn't really be as surprised as we are, I guess.
No, I mean, especially, you know, I do think, you know, so there's several allegations. One, he was in this kind of sexting relationship with a married woman he was married to.
That he initiated it and not her, which he tried to say that it was her.
And they denied this, but then now the emails have come out and the texting has come out. You see that he had some kind of improper relationship with her. And then he apparently was running a massage parlor of some kind with another pastor and was using the immigrant women who were being paid as masseuses.
But not paid very much.
Not paid very much. He was exposing himself, and I think he had them do things with him. So that was that part. Yeah, I think that's still under investigation, but the sexting thing seems to be pretty solid, and sadly.
So somebody wrote a letter to the organization and said, you guys have to clean up your act.
Right.
And that's
because they have been just stonewalling all these allegations and denying them. And someone in the organization says, this is it's coming to the point where we can't deny this anymore. And, you know, he, as part of the board, has been lied to by the board.
Yeah.
So he's just now getting information that he didn't have access to. Like, he didn't have access to the emails between Ravi and this woman. So he didn't know.
Right. If you're out there saying, oh no, nothing happened, but
yeah,
it's because somebody,
and they had the emails, they just didn't show them to the whole board. So
that's really bad.
Yeah. So anyway, but this goes back to our conversation maybe last week about Carl Lentz, is it when you get, whether you're genuine Christian or not, if you have power and wealth, there's this kind of sense that you're invisible. And
invincible, you mean?
Invisible and invincible, right? Because you have the money to pay to get what you want, and even probably the money to think you're covering it up enough.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. It's like a kid hiding behind a tree,
mm-hmm.
and you can see like all the arms and legs, but they're like, I can't see you.
They're hiding.
You can't see me if I can't see you.
Right. So there's this kind of power builds this kind of sense that you can't be discovered. You can't be seen. You're invincible because you're invisible, and you can keep that going. So Robbie's paying this woman to be quiet. And he has the money to do that, whereas a regular pastor wouldn't have the money to do that. Anyone should never do that, but Ravi was doing that, and you know, he's paying these women behind closed doors in this massage parlor. And Carl Lentz, you know, hiding his identity.
He went to a park.
I know.
And pretended to be a sports person.
I know. So all I'm saying is that the human heart is corrupt, even the Christian human heart.
Yeah.
And just, so
again, that's my drum. It's Advent, you know, Jesus is coming. So here's the thing, on the right and the left, no matter who you are more wicked than you have any idea, and you should repent.
And you should be thankful you should be thankful for those things that God says no to. Like when you say, if I just had more money, or if I just had a better job, whatever it might be, you know, no one can receive a single thing unless it's given to him by God. That was from John 3 yesterday in the reading. And because you're a Christian, he's only going to give you what's good for you. And if you don't have the money you want right now, it may be that God is protecting you from yourself. Right.
Probably.
Yeah.
And the person that he has given a lot of money to, or allowed to have money,
or fame or power, whatever.
That person, you know, it may not go. You shouldn't. Don't be envious, because, right. Anyway, we're like telling people what to do, which is against the rules. But I have to move along now because I have more shopping to do.
Oh my goodness.
So
we need to calculate what you've done. I need to know what you've done.
I,
speaking of money and power and invisibility, what you've been doing with my credit card.
It's actually my credit card.
Yeah, I'm paying for it.
It has my name on the front.
Yeah.
You don't even have a credit card. Actually, I went out and got a second credit card because I got a lot of money off by getting a credit card.
You told me that.
I was doing you a favor.
That's the woman that I go out and say, oh, it's 60% off. This is, I've got to buy this because it's on sale.
You just spend money to and save then, money.
Yeah. No, it's still spending money. Mm. Okay.
Well, hopefully we'll be back next week. Who knows what tomorrow may bring, but thank you for listening.